Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
All right. Welcome back. We are starting on a page, 45, with another subsection called In Relation to the Nerves and Senses. And Sarah and I, when we read it, we decided to split this section in two. So the first section will be a little bit more dry, and probably we will not have as much to say than for the second one, just because the second portion usually is where he gives the answers to many of his to the paragraphs beforehand. So bear with us, mm-hmm. And let's start.
Okay, sounds good. In relation to the nerves and senses. The third function of the body is the nerves. From the nerves come the senses, the means of observation and food for curiosity. But more of this later. Here we will talk about the general purpose of the nerves as the center of the sensuality of the body, or the capability of receiving outward impressions which are unpleasant for it. In this respect, one must make a rule to train the body to endure every kind of outward influence without misfortune, whether from fresh air, water, change of temperature, heat, cold, pain, wounds, and so forth. Whoever has acquired such a habit is the most fortunate of men, capable of the most difficult actions at any time in any place. The soul in such a man is the full master of his body. It does not postpone or change or leave off actions fearing bodily unpleasantness. On the contrary, it will turn with a certain desire to those things that can bring danger to the body. This is very important. The chief evil with relation to the body is love for the body and pitying it. This takes away all the soul's authority over the body and makes the soul the slave of the body. And on the contrary, one who does not spare the body will not be disturbed in whatever he does by apprehensions born of blind love of life. How fortunate is one who is trained to this from childhood. Here also is the place for medical advice concerning bathing, the times and places of walking, and clothing. The chief thing is to keep the body not in such a state that it would receive only pleasant impressions, but on the contrary, to keep it more under the impression of those things which cause it disturbance. By pleasant impressions, the body is pampered, and by unpleasant ones, it is strengthened. In the former condition, the child is afraid of everything, but in the latter condition, it is ready for anything and is capable of continuing patiently what it has begun. Such an attitude toward the body is prescribed by the science of raising children. Here we will only indicate how these counsels are useful also for the development of Christian life, because the zealous fulfillment of them protects the entrance into the soul from the evil poison of sensual enjoyments, of self-will, of love for the body, and self-pity. And it forms in the child the dispositions which are opposite to these, and in general trains him to be the master of his body and not to be in submission to it. This is very important in the Christian life, which by its nature is remote from sensuality and every kind of pleasing of the flesh.
In this section, St. Theophan is introducing us into further steps, but in this very section he's just trying to introduce us into how to guard our senses from senses in order not to fall into certain passions. Saint Nicodemus the Hagarite, he also does the same thing where he introduces all kinds of warning against the senses, each smell, taste, touch, hearing. And here Saint Theophan is doing the same thing, and it's for a good reason. In this Saint Theophan says, in this respect, one must may grow to train the body to endure every kind of outward influence without misfortune, whether from fresh air, water, change of temperature, heat, cold, pain, wounds, and so forth. Whoever has acquired such a habit is the most fortunate of men, capable of the most difficult actions at any time and any place. The soul in such a man is full master of the body, and it does not postpone or change or leave off actions, fearing bodily unpleasantness. And really, this is where, as Christians, we are supposed to do. It's a basic step for us to control our senses, control our bellies and desires. And he also continues. Sorry, I have highlighted more stuff. That and if we catch ourselves to be having a relationship to our body and pitying it, then we know that there is something wrong. And I think the easiest way how to really get sense of it is when we go constantly confessional and we see a sin that I call it a pesky sin that you can't get rid of, and you try any kind of things, then this is like another step that you look, all right, well, am I pampering my body? You know, am I in the shower too long, or whatever it is that can trigger this kind of pitying of our body?
Mm-hmm. Or like the first sign of pain, you take Tylenol or ibuprofen, right. Or it's like enduring discomfort is actually strengthening your soul in a way, because you can endure like other discomforts.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I it was either Saint Porphyrios or Elder Paisios or both of them who said that both of them dealt with cancers, and they said offer that pain to God. And many times I think it was Porphyrios who said that cancer made saints out of people, just because they had to put that endurance into something. Mm-hmm. And no medicine could help, mm-hmm. Nothing could help, but knowing and clinging to cross and fighting it helped them to become almost a new person.
Mm-hmm. I think what comes to mind is that saint that Deacon Ed gave us a prayer card for, I think Saint Anna Schaefer or something.
Yeah.
She's bedridden with some horrible illness, and the only thing that she could
I think she fell into
she fell?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she was bedridden.
Yeah, and but like the only thing that she could do was, instead of feeling sorry for herself, just
become a warrior.
Become a warrior, pray and be in prayer and offer all of her time and all of her suffering to God.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So, but her and the others, they didn't leave the body to enslave them.
Right.
But rather, at that moment, soul could be the ruler of the body, which
mm-hmm.
is, another book of his on spiritual life, when he talks to Anastasia, he says that. That's the proper way how it should be,
mm-hmm.
from creation.
Well, no, you don't allow yourself to, you don't pity yourself for being sick or bedridden or
right.
unable to do something. You
mm-hmm.
just dig in and do what you have to do in order to get closer to God.
Sure.
And my one note here is it does not postpone or change or leave off actions fearing bodily unpleasantness. My note next, close to that, is about us like doing our prayer rule even when we're in discomfort or mm-hmm. like tired or our back hurts or we don't feel like doing it that day, we just have to like put ourselves aside and understand that that's our rule mm-hmm. and
that's it.
What we have to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And usually those prayers are bring so much more fruit. And even those, and you know, sometimes even people say, well, I don't pray because I feel empty or I feel like there is nothing going on. And
yeah.
I was like, well, fine. half of the time you don't want to go to your job either, but
right.
you have to go to earn money. So
right.
it is the same thing in spiritual life. You're not going to get always this high of the prayer
right.
and feel good. You just have to do it.
And to have to and to do something to get a feeling from it is not what you're supposed to do.
No.
Like, I remember when we really first started into our spiritual life a lot, I still do use the word feeling a lot or feel, and it's not a good thing.
No.
Because it's you shouldn't be living your life because of your feelings
right.
or how you feel about
mm-hmm.
something. It's there is the way to do it, and then there's the way not to do it.
Sure. It's, and you know, it's like if you love God, it's not like feeling. It's
mm-hmm.
like between husband and wife or us and kids. It's not like we feel. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's there. It's mm-hmm. constantly growing or should be growing. But I see you have another paragraph. You have something there. If you want to start sharing.
Yeah, what I have underlined is, by pleasant impressions the body is pampered, and by unpleasant ones it is strengthened. I have that underlined, but then the continuation of that is, in the former condition the child is afraid of everything, but in the latter condition it is ready for anything and is capable of continuing patiently what it has begun. So my question here was, how can we help our children achieve this without, period, how can we help our children achieve this? But, like, we want to do everything that we possibly can to make our children comfortable and give
sure.
them a good life not make them feel pain, but you know, it's not like we're causing them to feel pain or want them to feel pain, but to be able to endure that pain with patience and understanding and faith. But like, how, you know?
Sure.
And
I think that's the question that I asked you yesterday or 3 days ago, that like, I don't want our kids to become a brats.
Yeah.
And I think it's just at this young age, it's a very fine line where
well, in meaning, before you finish, become brats because we're just allowing them to do everything
right.
because we don't want them to whine and cry that we're not letting them do
exactly.
something. That so that is had to be put into
right,
context.
Right, yeah, thank you. Yeah. You put a full picture in. But down the road, I still think it's something that they learn from us too.
Yeah.
You know, if
mm-hmm.
they see us endure and being sick but going through it, or being stressed out but managing it,
mm-hmm.
I think that's practically helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
It's difficult. I'm sure that when we are older parents, we'll have a different point of view or better point of view. But from now on, I don't know the answer.
Well, like, I laugh at our beginning podcast before we even had kids. It's like
many of our friends do.
I know. My mom especially laughs. She's like, "It's you guys sound so funny." Because, like, we had this out there perception of what it was going to be like to have children, and we don't have children that can even talk to us yet, really, so it's
yeah.
for us to help them patiently endure is kind of a foreign concept.
And I think, like, you know, I was thinking when our kids were sick
mm-hmm.
a few months ago, we still didn't skip our prayers.
That's true.
With them.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So they were feeling horrible, and yet we did our morning and evening prayers as nothing. And that's, in my book, that is teaching them to endure them not feeling good, but yet still knowing that this is something that you do not skip.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but after I read through beyond where we are stopping today, that's telling us the how a little bit more about how we can teach our children. And yeah, we might not be there right now at this point in our parenthood, but for sure we will be. And I know that a lot of our friends and stuff who listen and are reading this book with us have much older children than us and may benefit from the how much more than we can.
Or even just connect the dots.
Yeah.
No.
But also the one thing that I thought of is when by pleasant impressions the body is pampered, and in that condition the child is afraid of everything. And it makes me think of like problem solving and being able to calculate and understand how to not just be uncomfortable and whine about it and cry about it and look for your parents for a solution or look for the world.
Be humble.
Yeah, look for the world for a solution and actually take a step back and like if it's say something that you're doing as a sinful passion and it's causing you problems, then take a step back, understand where that root is coming from.
Sure.
And like in that problem solving in that context, sure. Right? Why are you smirking at me?
It's totally different.
Okay.
I bought something and I broke it and Sarah helped me to fix it.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Well, why are you bringing that up?
I'm not, but you just asked that. That's why I'm laughing.
That has nothing to do with our spiritual life.
Nope.
Other than like the new words that you made up when you couldn't get that back together.
Yeah. Oh my.
Oh shoot.
Sorry.
Anyhow.
No, I agree with you, but it is, as you said, it's not about looking to solve the problems from the outside, or going to the world or anything, but really very first thing to step back and see what can be changed, or what is causing the sin.
Yeah.
You know, many times, at least from my experience, is that it's always somebody else's fault at the confessional.
Oh.
You know, like when somebody comes to confessional,
mm-hmm.
it's always somebody else's fault. And I'm like, how about you look at yourself first and see? Yeah. So
not in judgment, but
but you know, start this healthy approach to yourself and see that, well,
in humility
and strictness.
Yeah, that's, you know, strictness is a good word because I have underlined under all of these paragraphs discipline, and there's a really huge difference between someone who has discipline and understands that like something needs to happen in their life or, you know, at a certain time versus someone who doesn't have any of that discipline in general. Like, understanding that, like, yes, on Sundays we go to church, but then also, like you were saying the other day to me, on any day that there's liturgy, you should have that discipline of understanding, okay, this is what I do when there's liturgy, or this is what I do when there's prayer. We go for prayer, and we don't let the outside influences distract us from that.
Yeah.
Do you understand what
no,
I mean?
No, I agree. That discipline has disappeared out of our understanding. You know, Sunday, and that's it. And
not just with church services, but in general, in life.
Sure, but
times.
I mean, this is very Christian podcast, and for example, Sunday. So, all right, the basic is Sunday.
Right.
If you want to prepare for liturgy, do a canon, If you want to prepare for Uruji, you can do preparatory prayers for Uruji.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to prepare, and usually canon is done prior to receiving Eucharist, and from that moment you do not eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful, beautiful prayers they're said. So, I mean, the discipline can always grow
mm-hmm.
and always become more beautiful and more... what would be the proper word? More beautifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we understand what's in front of us during liturgy, our life should change.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see the last paragraph.
You have plenty of highlights. I think what I have pointed out is also what you have pointed out. So why don't you read what you have?
Sure. Well, I have what's my highlight is Christian life, because the zealous fulfillment of them protects the entrance into the soul from the evil poison of sensual enjoyments, self-will of love for the body and self-pity,
mm-hmm.
and it forms in the child the dispositions which are opposite to these, and in general trains him to be master of his body and not to be submission to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these, and he's going to give more later on, but when we teach our children not to be, and ourselves, of course, not to be pampered, but we'll be sacrificing ourselves then we can see, as Saint Theophan says, that other things grow within our heart, which are actually a protection from the sensual enjoyments, self-will, and love of the body, self-pity. So it's
the most major things.
But like, isn't it beautiful that like if we say, all right, I'm going to submit my body to the will of God and to my soul,
mm-hmm.
that it's not just going to be some kind of emptiness, but something grows within us that protects us to fall back into these sins if we are watchful.
Yeah, it's like the virtue of those passions, which is like humility in the greatest sense, because you're literally humbling yourself by allowing yourself to feel discomfort and endure it and just take it without griping. You know what I mean? It's
and I think, and another thought that just came to me, I think that's why it is so important to read, actually that's why it's so important for each family to have a synaxarion, which is the lives of saints of the whole liturgical year, because you get the lives of saints, or prologue, which two sets. Because when you read these saints and their struggles, you get a sense of understanding how they are fighting it, but also when you read them, you're like, first you think of them as crazy fools. And then you realize, wait a minute, well, they are being crazy because they are protecting themselves from the sins of self-love, love for body and others.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense and it clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those saints offer a lot of healing for us practical ways how to approach our own healing, because
mm-hmm.
not everybody is the same, and I'm sure that every saint out there already has experienced what we are experiencing,
right?
So I think it's just to do a good match,
mm-hmm.
of if that saint struggled with this and he fixed it that way, then maybe we can imitate
mm-hmm.
what the saint did. And
well, it's like you preach today.
What do I preach?
They had Moses and the prophets,
yes.
and we have the saints that will help us and teach us and...
Yeah. But it's up to us to look for them.
Well, yeah. Like, we can't send the dead to warn our family once we're already in Hades to say, hey, it's real, you know, pull it together.
Yeah.
So we have to just do it now and understand that it is real.
And look where we can learn from.
Yeah.
All right. A little bit dry podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
But, I mean, it's just because we didn't want to read the whole paragraph. Well, Sarah didn't want to read the whole
thing. Okay, it's like 4 pages. It would have just been me reading the entire time. Gosh.
I have to blame somebody else. All right, well, see you next Sunday. God bless you.